someday we will give you a PG opening. Maybe you could use this apology as ours. We just cut everything else out, like the first like 4 minutes. Also, GG's, Carter.
I got clapped. It was not. It was not a very good match.
I told you it was like, you know, I'd make you last 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was not a good match. But
this team is very good. I will be talking about this literally that exact six. For this episode, because that's the team Jacob used to come in 13th.
I also just kind of wanted to rush through so we could actually, you know, not waste more Chase time. Let me...
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Literate Lessons, episode 215. I never thought of what I was going to call myself, so we're just going to move past this part. Carter and Jay are here. How are you guys?
What's up, brother?
That might be the weakest intro we've ever had, ever.
I've definitely had worse.
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is
up there. That's
this is an intro of all time.
This is an intro of all time. Yeah, I did as I was doing, I was like, let's get this done, let's get this rolling, and then my first thought was, I forgot to plan.
I forgot to do the thing that I do every week.
Literally, yeah. Well, you know, it's half the time it's off the top of my head, but wasn't this week. We had Orlando this week, the last, like, really, really big Regulation F event, so...
Is there anything on the calendar past this?
Like Sao Paulo regions? Next week.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to talk Reggie, probably. Maybe. Who knows?
Are we doing tier list next week? Is this our official announcement?
Yeah, I think we should do tier list next week.
Well, I know we had talked about it. I wasn't sure if we were...
Of all of the events which we're going to go into right now, we're starting off the episode planning next week. This is how the sausage is made, folks. Don't know why you expect anything else. 822 competitors at this event, making it one of the largest events in VGC history, one of the largest events of this format, and it went out with a bang. Your top Pokemon and usage are pretty much what you expect. There's nothing, at least in day one, to really talk about. I think it gets a little more fun. I think the only thing to talk about might be Urshifu Rapid Strike. As Jay said, the Pokemon's not dead. And as we move to day two, the Pokemon is not dead. It's number one in day two.
Yeah, not that surprising. Who would have thought that Surging Strikes is a really good move?
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder why it was doing so poorly before. I think the other thing to note in the day two usage is you have the Ogre Ponds neck and neck. I know this has been a bit of a debate on the pod on which one's better and which one isn't. I think at this point we can honestly say it's pretty much a tie. And Dragonite creeping in at number 12 in usage in day two.
We all know that Cornerstone is the best Ogre Pond form, okay?
Honestly, it has the ring. Wellspring and Heartflame don't have a UDL ring.
No, they don't. They can only dream of having one.
Yeah.
I don't think they were even drafted this season.
Really? For what?
UDL.
For UDL? Really? Yeah. Wow.
I do not think so.
Speaking of...
Price themselves out of the meta.
Okay, that'll do that. Speaking of people with a lot of championships, Wolfglick won again, boys.
If I had a nickel for every time he won Orlando, I'd have two nickels.
Is that even accurate? Has he ever won in Orlando before the last 2 years?
Last year.
Last year.
That's what I'm saying. Previous years.
I don't think so.
I don't know, but it's weird that it happened twice. It's not a lot.
Is it weird that
it happened twice?
So I will say that this is interesting. This is the first repeat winner we've had this season, which it is a little weird because now you're looking at it. It's not like the automatic Worlds qualifier moves down to second place. It's just sort of burnt. At the other end, at this point, a lot of players, especially a lot of our consistent top players at these events, like... The two players in finals already had their invites set in stone. Actually, looking at everything at this list, I'm pretty sure everyone in top eight, by their top eight placement, either got their invite just by placing in top eight, or already had it. Shout out Zach Weed. I think Zach needed like 20 points, and you know he got like 100.
I just looked it up. The only other placement that Wolf has in Orlando is in 2016, where he placed third.
Okay, so
two nickels. Yes.
two nickels and a penny. This is a team
like
that
a
we
dime.
That's 11 cents. This is a team that Wolf used at EUIC, the Firewater Grass of Insign, Urshifu, and Amoongus, your Double Genie in Lando and Tornadus, but not the way you would think Double Genie would be if you said Double Genie, almost any other format, and the booster Fluttermane as well. This is just good mons are really, really good folks.
This guy decided to show up like 2 days ago, by the way.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He played day one on like three or four. I think someone said he landed in Orlando at 2 a.m. on Saturday and then just went and won the event. This is absolutely absurd.
Also, I'm upset. Wolf Glick is younger than me.
Yeah. I think he's like a few months younger than me.
I think he's like 27.
He's 29. His birthday is December. Mine's January of 95.
He's 27. He'll be.
He's 28. He's going to be 29.
Okay. Well, oh yeah, you are 20. Oh god, I just forgot you're 29. God, we're old.
That mean I still have 3 years to catch up?
Yeah. You have three years to win.
NAIC three times.
You know, win worlds, you know.
Yeah, mama didn't raise no bitch. But yeah, I'd say in general, it's like, this is a standard team. What I actually find a little interesting is that Wolf does have the Rain Dance on his Tornadus, but, and so like you could say that it's a quasi-rain team with the Tornfu, or rain mode, but he doesn't have the Sandseer Storm on the Landorus, probably because the substitute, he doesn't want to play a move where you are relying on that rain being up. But it is interesting to see that a rain-ish team went and won. Weather is always king, folks.
Yeah, it has like good defensive synergy with the Amoongus, also with like the Tornadus, just like kind of slowing down Incineroar's damage output is really solid.
I think what's also really nice is his Incin is also Terra Grass, so yeah. If he does Terra, the rain, it does help his Incineroar. Doesn't help with the Flare Blitz damage output, but that's why you have knockoff. Moving on to, I'd say, the next super interesting, there's a few super interesting teams. I'd say the next one will be Justin Karras. Karras, who finished in third place, who played Wolf on stream in day one. Justin went back to another, like, super old, like, early meta team in the Iron Crown Indeedee with the Tornadus, Scarfu, Ogapon Heartflame, and the Dragon Fang Regidrago. The Iron Crown being Terra Water with the Terra Blast and the Booster Speed.
Spread moves, baby.
Yeah, this is, again, it's... I think what was interesting that Karras... And I was curious if he did win his top four match. Karras said that he picked his team to specifically, like, counter-team his other, like, his friends. Wolf, like, being one of them. And we saw in the, at least in the day one matchup, that Wolf did have a lot of trouble against this specific team. There really weren't many, especially if he was forced to Terra the Incineroar, there weren't really many great switch-ins for the Iron Crown. And once it went Terra Water, it was able to threaten a KO onto the Incineroar with Terra Blast. So it was, things might have went a lot more differently if Karras ended up winning his top four set. Maybe we'd be talking about how Wolf almost had two nickels and we only had one. But yeah,
it's funny how things work sometimes.
Yeah.
Matchup roulette.
It really is, and there's so many good teams in this format. I feel like it really is a matchup roulette. Because we have, again, Wolf's team, the second place. Wolf's team was a balancey tailwind team. The second place team being just like a pure balance team. This team, hyper offense with the Psy Spam mode. And in fourth place, New Englander Ben Grismer. Yes, we claim him Tri-State. With a very, very, very hard Trick Room team. Like the hardest one. This is probably the best hard Trick Room team we've seen in Reg F in terms of results.
Yeah, this team's awesome. Like the Ndidi tech with Healing Wish is really cool as well.
Healing Wish is such a good move. It's so cool. I absolutely love it.
There isn't a single Protect on this team.
That's wild.
I get it. I get it. So, especially on a hard Trick Room team like this, if you don't have three KOs if you aren't up like 2v1, 3v1 by the time Trick Room's over, you're probably lost anyways. Yeah. So there's no point in clicking Protect. It's what Jay said earlier. Powerful spread moves are good, like clicking Expanding Force, D-Gleam, Specs, Terrifier, Eruption. Honestly, the Smeargle with Decorate is a super, super cool tech. Going and decorating and making your hat or your Torkoal +2 is just apps, or even your Urshifu +2. +2 Banded Wicked Blows. I mean, what's living that? Or even the +2 Sucker Punches if it gets to that point. This is the amount of damage that Ben's able to put out with this team is massive. And again, it is a very hyper offensive team, but it's also very different from the hyper offense that we see Justin run.
Yeah, the Smeargle, like not having any offensive output too, I think lends a little bit more to the no protects. You need to really have your damage dealers do the damage. They can't, you know, be knocked out before taking any KOs, because sometimes you'll just be left with, you know, your Ndidi, which isn't doing anything to you know, any dark types and any physically bulky mons. Your Smeargle isn't doing anything, and the Frigoref itself isn't like a very offensive version of the Frigoref that we've seen with like the throat spray stuff. So obviously, you know, double choice items. You're not going to run Protect on them.
Yeah, the Clear Amulet on the Hatterene is also very, very interesting.
Especially with Magic Bounce as well. So, like, you already can't be Parting Shotted.
Well, no, you can be Parting Shotted.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, but you swap out.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point.
So, does it's Clear just, Amulet it's... stop Parting Shot?
Yes.
With yep. Clear Amulet?
Uh-huh.
Yep. And it stops, so, yeah, like Snarl Spam. Snarl
is the big one, especially with like the number of Raging Bolts that have been running Snarl here lately. It makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. But I think, yeah,
the Parting Shot tech is, it hurts my head.
Yeah, this is like some 7D chess, and it's why someone like Chef Ben Grismer is able to come top four with the team that we know. A lot of people in the VGC community love hard Trick Room. Shout out Tommy Hayden and his cult of Trick Room. But it's also a team that, especially on day two, we usually see fall off. Maybe there's someone who's able to sneak into top like 16, but never as far as top four. So I think it does take techs like this to really bring the team to that next level. Moving on to fifth place, Charles Moses, another super offensive team. This six is another six that was very popular in the first month or two of Regulation F, the classic Glamora, Urshifu, Tornadus, the gut offensive core, with a Flutterfish mode and the Ogrepan Wellspring. So again, hyper offense is like seemed to be a call, at least to get into top eight for this week, with the last three teams we've talked about being super offensive teams.
Yeah, this team was like the most popular team for the very early stages of Reg F. I know Lab Mouse for a while had it as like one of the best performing and one of the like most used teams across like all the tours.
If you like just looking at that right now, I think this 6-1. It's even now it's in usage. I mean, it's been updated with, I believe it's been updated with Orlando, but it's the 11th best team.
Yeah, and this has been like something that we've seen from day one of the format. So it has so many games, you know, as a combo.
It's just again, good teams are good. You have a weather mode with the sunny day boosting up your Chiyu and your Fluttermane. We just know from prior formats and prior years, a power herb Meteor Beam rock type plus speed control from a genie plus Urshifu single strike is really, really good, folks. And I think this is something that maybe not this exact core, but the idea of it where you have a super strong power or Meteor Beam on maybe say like Lunala with other speed control and other offensive tools around it become big in regulation G.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I miss Celesteela.
You sicko. No. No.
Oh, I'm the sicko. You're talking about Lunala.
I also miss Celesteela, to be
Thank
fair.
Thank you. You're okay. In the minority here, Angelo.
Okay, so...
You don't get an opinion now.
No, I do get an opinion. So, remember how tough that was to remove when you knew its weaknesses, and then you just throw Terra on top of it? Like, games will never end.
That sounds like a personal problem for you.
Man, I get tired. I get old. Karis in his set, like in his day one interview, he went and said, "Yeah, I gotta play hyper offense. I gotta play these offensive teams now." He's like, "Historically, that's what I lean, but I hate calling myself an offensive player. But I need games to end quick because I'm old. I get tired." Mind you, he's our age, Carter.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that so much, man.
Yeah. Don't have the brain capacity to sit through 10 plus turns anymore. No,
not at all. He's like, I need to rest. And honestly, and this is bad because I love my balance teams, but sometimes, you know, I need a click button mode every now and again, like in that balance package to just be able to delete stuff, move on to the next round.
I'm with him. Just click Expanding Force, end your games, and move on.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's real easy.
The next team we're talking about, Zach Weed, New England's Boy Wonder, our champion of the day, my hero, the person who told me at a local that he was hoping that I was old enough to just have a stroke so I would lose the set to him.
I didn't realize that's who it was.
This is him?
Yes.
Okay, I love
him so much more now.
My icon.
Only person I will let that slide with, because I'm just saying he is just so freaking talented. This is his first year as a master, and you have a day two, a top 16, now a top 8, forced Wolf Glick to really reach deep to take him out. At a moment, I thought we're about to see the birth of a legend.
To be fair, that match, Wolf played that game 3 out of his mind. Like, there's...
Wolf made one of the most unreal reads I've ever seen in my life.
100%. I'm just like, holy cow.
And part of that is because...
Never would have seen this in my life.
And part of that is because Wolf's been playing Pokemon, not even a joke, almost as long as Zach's been alive. Jay and I talked about this last week. Experience, especially in these balanced mirrors, are important. But if you're talking about the next new up and comer who's going like this year's like Sempra or Justin Tang, it's Zach Weed. And you're going to see this name a lot as long as he's been playing Pokemon. Zach built a team with Justin Knox, 45 Mice. It is your classic balance team, except the Pokemon that's in the top right-hand corner.
I love the Screamtail.
Yeah, I wish you would have brought it.
Rocked. So that's
how iconic would it have been to beat Wolf with Screamtail
in Orlando, where he won last year with Screamtail. It's a very different Screamtail.
Immensely different.
Yeah. Encore disable stuff is always just nasty, and it gets to, like, it is around this point in the format where everyone's comfy with their Specs Mons and their Band Mons and their Scarfed Mons, and then you have this little, like, you know, flowy hair Jigglypuff. It's going to clap in your face and then disable you, and you're just going to struggle. I heard from what Zach has said and from what Justin Knox has said, the matchups just didn't come where Screamtail was useful. But in the matchups where it does come in, it's like insanely powerful.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen Screamtail like do well in some of the recent tournaments as well, and I think that this set with the Rock Tomb has been, you know, popping up a little bit.
Have you all seen the promo Screamtail for the TCG?
No.
Oh, no. It's so pretty. I got to share this with you all.
Yeah, I've seen
Carl, throw this up in the edit. It's so good looking.
Oh, that's adorable. That actually is a really nice looking card.
Card is itself, not very good.
I was going to say, is that from the, like what's that? Is that just the full art from the...
No, it's some promo. I don't remember.
Like an ETB promo?
Maybe?
I'll get this up. We'll figure this out. But yeah, I think the other thing is the clear amulet on Rillaboom to just ignore the Incineroar debuffs and to threaten it with threaten it with high horsepower. That is the other like nice little tech here. And then there's a few other little things. The sword stance instead of the follow me on the Ogrepan Heartflame, the taunt on Incin and Sash Urshifu. Those are some techs that we haven't really seen as much of. They're all clearly great. It's just that those aren't the way that people usually see these Pokemon, which is why I think Zach was in a good spot, along with bringing a Pokemon that was one, I think, under 1% usage, a great way to tweak your team for a metagame and to get yourself like that one extra step is taking these standard Pokemon, and specifically Incin, Rillaboom, and Urshifu, and just changing one like little thing on them to just throw people off of what their priors are from their testing.
I think it needs to be said that Zach lost their round one matchup and then didn't lose again until round 15.
Yeah, that too. He was the first person to. Yeah, he was the first person to clinch top cut. Had a rough matchup in round 15, which was his first, like it was his first loss of the day two against our next player on this list, Joshua Lorsi.
I just wanted to be known. He played two Okie Dokie in day one.
Okie Dokie. Like, yeah. So see the Okie Dokies from Europe invaded.
Yeah, there's two Okie Dokie and an Iron Valiant. One of the Okie Dokies has Comfey and Sinistro and Moltres with it as well. This team's hot. I need to look at this team.
We'll make sure to throw that up after. Yeah. So Joshua Lorsi, also New Englander that we have to share custody with Tri-State. That's three New Englanders in the top eight, just throwing that out there. We had that little which region's the best region for their locals, and no one brought up New England, and we're here. This is just classic balance.
Be fair, no one brought up Missouri, so.
Well,
don't you guys have like three people at your locals most of the time?
I think they had seven.
I think we had like 14 counting like juniors and seniors.
Okay, that honestly, that's like with some areas. I like when I was doing the interview with Swede last week, he said that like the first event he ran, he got, I think including everyone, he got like 10 people. Honestly, double digits at any event is like for a local is pretty good with how bad VGC does. Like it's not like there's like a weekly like card league you can just play friendlies at. It's you have to be looking for this stuff. So double digits isn't that bad. Back to Lorsi's team, this is pretty much the balance that we were seeing last week at UIC. I don't think there's really anything much else to add. Like the Insin and the Urshifu sets, you have Ice Spinner Urshifu instead of the Aqua Jet, and the Incineroar actually dropped its fire type coverage for its tech move and taunt instead of the dark type coverage that it is usually dropped. I don't know. I mean, we can just move. Jay, Carter, do you have anything for this one?
Nope.
Standard good stuffs here. I mean,
Lorsi's a great player.
Some really good tech moves, some really good, ideas, but this is kind of a standard six that you'll see, nine times out of ten when you play in these tournaments.
Yeah.
They're just, these are, your top six Pokemon for the most part.
Pretty much. The last thing to round out our top eight, Aaron Brock, who, similar to Zach Weed, goes in with a very standard five Pokemon, and in the bottom right this time, there is a Burm.
Corvi.
You go, Jay.
The Corviknight was really good. I mean, we got to see Aaron Brock play against Paul Ruiz and see the Corviknight actually, I think, live on 1 HP, which was insane. Not to be the type of person who craps on other people's play or anything, but I definitely think that Paul had a bunch of opportunities to win that set and get themselves into the top eight, but just didn't capitalize on those opportunities. And Aaron was able to just use Corviknight, constantly click Roost over and over and over again, keep themselves healthy enough to where their Rocky Helmet chips slowly dwindled away at Paul's Como, at Paul's Incineroar, so on and so forth until, he was able to pull away and take the set.
Yeah. So that's pretty much our top eight. Again, it's the last event of the format. Everything's been settled. We did get some great, interesting tech moves. We had a lot of friends at this event, and so I threw up a few friends of the pod who also finished really, really well at the event just to show off their teams and what they were doing. We're going to lead this off with dear friend of the pod, Rowan Hall, one of the hosts of the Game Corner podcast. Rowan finished in, where Ten. Are you, Rowan? 10th place.
Yeah, go. First off, go follow them. Sheldon and Harrison and Rowan are just fantastic people, and their content is fantastic. Cannot highly recommend them enough.
And while Rowan isn't able, he hasn't been an active participant in events as active this year, whatever he does go, he really, really, as you can see, really makes a point of reminding everyone how good he is. 10th place with this team. So the Chien Knights that we usually see are usually more of the hyper-offensive variant. And again, Rowan is leaning into a very pivoty, switchy balance with that Chien Pao package. The pivoting on the W turn plus parting shots, the bulk of the Raging Bolt that, honestly, the Combine Raging Bolt can just sit there and be its own win condition. And then you have the Chien Pao that helps the damage output of every Pokemon in this right column, plus the Dragonite. And the Terra Normal Banded E-Speed on Dragonite next to a Chien Pao, it's a known commodity.
It claps.
It's stupid damage.
I was going to say the Raging Bolt claps, but Rowan actually went with the
his literally doesn't.
Yes, his is one that does not clap. And honestly, I kind of like that a little more because Ferrigraph has definitely fallen off compared to where it was early in the format, but a Teferi draft can just hardwall the Raging Bolt. And so if they go with the Thunderclap, so going with the Thunderbolt, having at least consistent damage to anything, everything, that is that's pretty useful.
Yeah, you get 20 extra base power. You don't have to like play mind games around whether or not they're going to click follow me with their Ogre Pond or not, or their Ndidi, which we also saw quite a few Ndidi within like the top eight. The team is awesome. You know, Rowan also won the Little Road Invitational, the first one, if I remember it correctly.
I believe so.
You know, this result obviously doesn't have anything on that one, but...
No. No, because the thing is, 10th place, first place, like, I'd rather be in first.
Big difference there. He got his name on a t-shirt.
I know. I have that t-shirt in my closet somewhere.
I thought for half a second I was wearing mine, but I'm not.
I'm clearly not wearing mine. The next friend, this is something I've been waiting to do all season, is to be able to share this person's team. Jacob Littner is like one of my best friends playing Pokemon. We met a couple years ago at a local, and we've just been close ever since. He was my bunkmate at NAIC. We spooned together. We might have.
I'm not even not going near this one.
Anyways, this is just someone who I'm very close with, and this is his first like full season as an active player in the format, in the scene, and he is just taking every advantage that they can get. This is a team that was based off of the Iwafuchi team. Myself, another one of our close friends, Keon, who also ran the same exact six, and Jacob, we all put different parts of effort into it. Keon and Jacob a lot more than mine. Carter, this is the exact six that I just used against you. Yeah. So very, very battle tested. The Incineroar on this team is it hits 104 speed. It's a very, very fast Incineroar to be able to get off the fast parting shots into your slower Raging Bolts or a Blood Moon Ursaluna in the Tail Room matchup. The Goldango is actually pretty much min speed. It's a 31 IV, but only four speed, which allows it to work really well when you get the Trick Room up with Porygon 2. Roaring Moon, even though it is an attack booster, Roaring Moon hits that 180 speed stat, which is going to outspeed a majority of the of where people are putting their Ogre Ponds at. So to be able to immediately threaten Ogrepan with a booster attack, acrobatics, where you don't have to get a Dragon Dance off before you get that pressure off, is really, really important. And it makes Roaring Moon, it gives it the ability to take out a lot of these very scary, grass types in the format. And for a while, I was very much against the no protect Amoongus, and I think it was, Jay, I think it was you when we were bringing this up a few tournaments ago. It might have been Utrecht when we first talked about it again for Regulation F. And you said, like, it's good. You should just try using it. After using it, and of course seeing Jacob's result, it's very good. You kind of don't miss protect with it. Sludge Bomb just won Wolf his like world because he had that extra damage.
Yeah, you have everything you need on this, and you have so much protect on the rest of your team. I mean, not a ton on this team in particular, but like your Pokemon who don't have protect are these extremely bulky juggernauts that take a lot of doubling up into to take. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting rid of the Sludge Bomb for protect, you know, you're not doing the damage that you want to do with like your stab, attacks into Ogre Ponds and Teferis, and the secondary effect for picking up poisons is great. And then you also have Pollen Puff on it to allow Pokemon like Porygon 2, like Roaring Moon, like Goldengo to hang around for a lot longer than, you know, they would normally. And that lets you get up, you know, your Nasty Plots, your Dragon Dances, so on and so forth. These are like teams that I struggle to play, particularly myself, because there's a lot of setup that I feel like you need in order to actually get going. But like you said, with the booster attack and the iron plate on the Golden Go, you know, you have like immediate damage when you really need it. Plus you have the Landorus potential download boost from Porygon 2. This team's awesome, but I do have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Iron plate or metal coat?
Iron plate. Okay, it has to be iron plate. Why? Because the vibes are immaculate.
I low-key like metal coat because it like it matches Golden Go's vibes a little bit better.
I was with metal coat, and then I believe Jacob finished top. It was either top two or top four in NSS this past Sunday, before like leading into the tournament, and it was with iron plate, and that's when we all decided like, okay, well, we're playing Iron Plate now because Metal Coat wouldn't have gotten us that result.
Well, Metal Coat won Toller, his regional.
So for actual fun fact for you all, Metal Coat, when using Fling, is base 30 power, whereas all the plates are base 90 power.
Yes, well, is true.
Good thing we're not using Fling.
Saying there is a niche as to why you would.
Well, yeah, that was the thing where way back in Sword and Shield, when people would use Fling on Rillaboom, you made sure you played Rose Incense and not Miracle Seed for that exact interaction. One did more than the other. But yeah, shout out to Jacob. Shout out to Keon. Again, this was their best regional run. It put them in the driver's seat to getting a Worlds invite in their first full season of competing. And I can't go more into how much I appreciate his watching their play and just the growth that I've seen throughout this entire season.
Yeah, I think I played Jacob in what might have been his first ever tournament in Secaucus.
That was his first ever.
He was my final round of that tournament, and so I was trying to get to even, and he was, I think, trying to also get to even. And we played a great match against each other, and it's kind of funny because when I played him, he was playing Zacian Palkia, and here he has a steel type Pokemon and a dragon type Pokemon. It's kind of the centerpieces of the team.
With the Trick Room mode,
and I think that's pretty awesome. Very happy to see Jacob doing so well and continuing to succeed.
So not a friend of the pod, but a team that the pod definitely would like.
Okay, cool. I was gonna be like, hey, before we go too far, I want to go into like results.
Is it the Weezing team? Okay.
Angelo is literally reading my mind.
So again, this is the podcast.
Podcaster's choice thing.
Yeah.
Carter, trust me, go. I have more.
Okay, Carter, go.
I did my part. I went through and found teams I want to talk about.
Oh, I found one myself.
Heck yeah. Okay. So Weezing plus Intimidate user holding Ability Shield is something that Carl and I kind of worked on pretty early on. And I thought Weezing was like super underrepresented, thought it was very, very cool mon. Come to find out, it's not very good. But, you know, it's cool. It's fine. Because, of course, at the time, Neutralizing Gas didn't shut off Proto Boosts. So you could have, like, your booster energy consumed. You get your Proto Boost, yada, 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 right? So you could have, like, this extra mode of your team of just, like, Weezing plus, like, Fluttermane and be able to still do your thing. But then they updated it to where it doesn't work that way, even though it definitely should have never worked that way.
Yeah, well,
I think it should have always worked that way. I can't believe that. Weezing on that.
Yeah, I'm actually on Jay's side with this.
It's not that it's broken. It's just that it's an ability, and therefore needs to be turned off.
Yeah, but other abilities are turned on.
The items still work, and it's activated with an item.
The item is consumed because of an ability.
I think it's dumb.
I'm with Jay.
Trust me, I also like I don't care.
This is from the same company. This is from the company who let Dozo get boost with order up until like regulation C.
That is fair.
Yeah, this, like, yeah,
like half a year of competition, Dozo was getting boosts by order upping into protect.
But yeah, no, I think this is just a cool team. Again, we're seeing a lot of these sword stance on the Ogre Pond over the over this more supporty follow me. So that's maybe something you might want to keep in mind as you're building for the next regulation. When you see an Ogre Pond that you can lean towards going with a focus energy or sword stance or even a third coverage move over the follow me that we usually see. Okay, so I have my next, like, I have, like, three we can use super quick because I just want to round out the rest of the New Englanders that made top 20. We can actually just talk about them here. We don't have to, like, dive into the teams. In order, Safan Mott, Dawei C, Yi Chun Wu, all three New Englanders.
I actually want to talk about Dawei's team.
Like, actually, yeah, let's go into Dawei's team.
Also, did you know Stephen Mott does coaching?
His Clefairy was super cool. Also, did you know he didn't have a Tarot Orb this weekend?
Oh, no. actually, first let's get to this. Just going over local things. Stefan's been terrorizing us with this team for the last, like, 2 months. Initially, earlier in the format, he was trying Dozo stuff. He found, I think it was late February, he put together this six, and he's used... The sets might be different, but he's used this six throughout the rest of the format, and he's gotten some amazing results with it. Yes, the Clefairy, the Protect, Follow Me, Moonblast, Sing, because flipping coins is fun, folks.
Yeah, trust me, I don't know if you've ever seen my Twitter banner.
Yeah, no, we saw it. I was there for that game, you sicko.
I gotta take a look now because I actually don't know what it is.
Oh,
dude,
it's fantastic.
You'll appreciate it.
Is it Hypnosis from on Executor? Yes. Like 100 fucking times. Like, oh yeah, let's do the 60% move because I'm so afraid of.
I didn't want to get safety goggled. It's
oh my gosh. Jace shout out in the Twitter bio. That's amazing. Yeah. I don't want to get safety goggles. I safety goggles him one time, and he never again can trust that another Pokemon on the other team did not have safety goggles.
Right, so instead I clicked Hypnosis.
Which then proceeded to never hit for a single time for the entirety of him playing this season. And it strictly was the main reason that his team sank that season. It was
atrocious. But like also at the same time, like that team had like Tangela and Eggie on it, so I can't reasonably anticipate them to not have safety goggles.
Only
on something.
Only one Pokemon can have it.
I know, but still, when I need it to be important and then it happens, it's bad.
Well, you miss it anyway, so there's no point.
Yeah, but then
Carter does not like winning coin flips, guys, alright?
I love winning coin flips. That's why I exclusively click the move to flip coins.
Yeah. Moves that aren't
Jay
coin flips.
Fun is what I'm getting at.
I ran a full blown Fissure team once, alright? I love fun.
We have
that's rolling dice, not flipping coins. That's strictly different.
Okay.
We're gonna get to Dawei's team. Shout out Rhode Island VGC. You want to talk about like the best state? We have like five or six players.
Are we still on this argument?
I'm really going to be pushing this. We have like five or six active players in Rhode Island, and three of them have world invites.
Listen, you don't Dawei walk into. You guys don't get to walk into a local and then all of a sudden see like a TSL Tang, Aaron Cybertron Zhang, Chupacross, Joe Ugarte, and James Evans all sitting at the table in front of you, okay?
We're going to concede to you, Mr. Long Island. I'm not a fool.
So your argument is invalid, is what I'm hearing.
No, I'm saying we're second best.
And then like you also have like Tom Hayden who's like running them and like Jacob Skraw and like all these great players. Yeah. Like it is to the point where I'm like, I don't have the mental capacity to go and sit across the table from James Evans and Chubba right now. So
I'm just
not gonna go.
Like, yeah, you just don't want to play a day two I'm like, for five.
I don't
want to
get bodied for an entire day.
I'm like, I'm gonna go hit the driving range or something instead. Like, that at least I can waste my time doing something productive, right? Like,
we're gonna finally get to Dotway's team. Dotway wanted to play Mousehold.
Yeah, Mousehold.
This is a Protect, Follow Me, Population Bomb substitute. This is very different from the mouse holds that we saw around this time last year in Regulations A through C. Population Bomb does a lot of damage, folks.
Hey, Swede, do you hear that? Population Bomb does a lot of damage. It also gets Super Fang and Friend Guard, and is a fast normal type.
The Furret, we will get more into why he chose Furret. I trust me, he knows. I think the other super interesting tech on this team is on the Flutterbane, the Sunny Day, having your weather, like, so the bones of this team, you'll have the Glamora, Urshifu, Ogrepan, Heartflame, very similar things you'll see to a lot of the Sunny Day Tornadus teams, but there's no Tornadus. So Dawei went with the Sunny Day on the Fluttermane in order to get that going, to have that weather mode, and to shut down especially the Scarf Urshifus that the booster speed Fluttermane still would outspeed with the Sunny Day. This is it's a fun team. I know Mousehold is one of Dawei's favorite Pokemon, and this was a situation of giving a favorite a final run before we get to the high powered Regulation G.
Para Water Raging Bolt is interesting. I don't think it's correct. But
I don't
it's...
think I like making myself weak to the opposing Raging Bolts.
And yeah, then also definitely. Like all the Ogre Ponds as well.
Yeah, I think against the Ogre Ponds you just don't Terra. But yeah, it does make the Raging Bolt difficult. There's probably some calcs where you can live certain things with the Assault Vest. But yeah, I think like Fairy or even your just Terra Electric might have been just better for the Raging Bolt. Moving on to the last New Englander in the top 20, Yichun Wu, who I am 0-6 against Lifetime, and none of them were ever close.
I think that's my record against you all combined, too.
Well, you know, things happen.
That's my record against Ian.
Yeah, no, that's everyone's record against Ian.
Yeah, he not my worst matchup. Period. It's not the teams he brings; it's him.
It's strictly him.
It's literal player diff.
And I was lucky enough to pull him in my winning in for top cut at Hartford. So kind of love that.
Yeah. So Yichun, this is a rain team with a Chien Knight package, using the proper rain setter in Pelipper, going with the Rocky Helmet on it, which is a nice little tech. I think everything else, it's a standard-ish rain team. We've seen a few of them. I'd say the only difference is that you don't need to bring the rain mode with this team. You have other modes in the setup, Goldango plus Amoongus and the Dragonite Chienpao. So I think that's like really, really interesting. It's a nice twist on the Urshifu plus rain setter. Plus,
I can't believe Amoongus. You called Pelipper the proper rain setter.
It is
how are
the
you
proper
gonna
rain
sit
setter.
There and one, disrespect Politoed, and two, actually disrespect Tornadus.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you. I'll give you.
Politoed is like rolling over in his grave right now.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, because
he's sitting at the nursing home. Just I remember when I was the best.
I remember when I got Rain Band and Ubers or what? No, OU or whatever.
It was OU.
I can still sing Parish songs. Doesn't that make me good?
Go to bed, Grandpa.
Go to sleep, all right? Hypnosis frog.
So those were the teams I wanted to share. I know you guys said that there were a few you wanted to bring up. Jay, what was the team that you were?
All right, at 46th place, Luis Emroque, who happened to bring my boy Garg to the
more
tour.
More importantly, Metagross.
Oh, this is definitely
this is a team after mine and Jay's heart.
Iron
defense on the Garg too, which is like
no body press.
Probably just wants protect, but
it's fine, Jay. It's fine.
I guess what's the point of protecting when you're just gonna get surging strikes through it?
The same reason you want iron defense, so they do less damage.
Yeah, honestly, like the iron defense with the recover and the rocky helmet, the salt cure. This is definitely we're gonna sit here. I'm gonna have like my knitting needles. It's gonna be a long game. I'm going to win. We're going to timer.
Unironically, what I love about this Garg is it has wide guard.
Yeah, wide guard, that is a move that we're going to be talking about a lot next week. The other thing that really stood out to me was that this is a Calm Mind Raging Bolt that doesn't have protect.
Yeah, you can't get stalled out by Clefairy anymore.
No, you can't.
I mean, you can click Thunderbolts.
Yeah, you have the Thunderbolt and the Thunderclap, along with the Dragon Pulse.
Are we really teching against Clefairy now?
Well, I think just in general, Stefan's at the event, and it does help against, so you don't just get walled against Giraffe. The only interesting thing here, especially if you want to try doing that no Protect Raging Bolt, I would have thought that you'd at least have instead of like the Ogre Pond, having a Rillaboom or an Amoongus to be able to Pollen Puff or Terrain up to get the double healing along with the leftovers, if that was the route you were going to take. But again, it's like if you boost up enough and you take one KO and the other Pokemon can't do enough to you, the lefties might stack enough.
I saw a tweet about Raging Bolt once where it was like, this is the saddest Raging Bolt I've ever seen, and it was fully boosted from Calm Minds, and it just was running Thunderclap and Dragon Pulse across from a Clefairy and a -4 Incineroar.
Yep.
And it still always loses that matchup because it has no moves. No moves.
Okay, so moving on, Carter, what is the first team that you want to make us
28th place, Ashton Cox. for the surprise of no one, Cox brought just the absolute heat.
Okay, so that's Clamulet Incense.
That's not the part I'm excited about.
No, I know. I'm just bringing up the first move that I saw.
Yeah, you're missing the point here.
Ooh, it has a weird item.
Yeah, it does have a weird item. I'm just, if we haven't seen one today. But yes, let's talk about the ugly Pokemon in the room.
That's the thing we haven't seen today. Incineroar.
not holding a clear amulet. Okay, talk. You can talk with the Chestnut.
It's just a funny little guy.
This is like one of those Pokemon similar to Komo that just walls Flutterman essentially because of Terra Fire and Bulletproof.
Yep.
Bellydrum is awesome.
Bellydrum Citrus.
Ashton saw he saw Ogre Pond and went, nah, Chestnut. That's my second grass type.
So I do think, because I remember there was a Chestnut not on stream, I think, last week at UIC, and I don't know if it was a situation of Ashton was a part of building that team, or, he took that idea. I didn't really look into the Chestnut. Today I learned Chestnut learns Bellydrum.
You know, same.
Chestnut is one of the worst Pokemon to face when you're playing doubles Ranbats. I just want that to be completely clear as well.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. You have the Bulletproof, the Citrus Berry with the Bellydrum. That's a known commodity. And then you have the Terrain from Rillaboom to spam Grassy Glides and the Stab Drain Punch to get your HP back. Like, you could be +6 with all of your HP after clicking, a turn after clicking Bellydrum. The more you look at it, the more it makes sense. And that is the other side of the end of these formats as well. And we were talking about maybe like a niche pick, a niche mon on a team that of five other super established Pokemon, whether it be Mousehold, Clefairy, Screamtail, Corv. This is it there again with Chestnut. You can do this and get creative because people like these teams are so ingrained in people's heads at this point that, again, just making these slight tweaks or just using one off-center Pokemon that you haven't tested against, that could be the difference in you doing well or doing not well. And Ashton clearly did well with a literal team of starter Pokemon and broken legendaries.
So I actually went and looked it up. The day two team from EUIC that had Chestnut, the only difference is Incineroar with safety goggles instead of clear amulet.
Okay. So yeah, so it so he was either involved with the team or said, hey, this looks good, and used it all for on his own. Good for him. To just recognize that this was a good team and clearly performed for this metagame. What
with
is the
grassy
next
glide on Chestnut too?
Yeah, it goes well.
That's
with the really
nice. It reminds me a lot of the like, I remember what in like Regulation B or something, we were working, I think me, Carter, Navier for a while, we're working on like different Iron Hand sets, and something that was kind of was in the wheelhouse was Belly Drum Iron Hands at one point.
Yeah.
I think my favorite still was we had Razor Claw Focus Energy Iron Hands.
Yeah,
that
did.
Was pretty sick.
Yeah,
that was pretty that sick.
Jay, Aaron, and I,
we were in the lab.
Yeah, and then I ended up bringing, was it Razor Claw Swords Dance to Knoxville?
I think you did.
And it was not great.
So. You're a sicko.
Yeah, you know, you gotta stumble, and then you, as you stumbled, you looked up and saw your savior, the worm. And,
the worm.
You know, that's how it works. Carter, what else
when
do you
in
have?
Doubt, worm.
I have one.
Okay.
43rd spot, Travis Tyson.
Okay,
Monkey Dory, Raikou, Hisuian Goodra, Magmar,
hold on.
Milotic, and Dragonite.
Hold on. There's a lot going on here.
This team is
that did say
awesome.
Travis Tyson and not Carter Noble, because this is the Monkey Dory. We know you like your monkeys. You were a
like,
huge
it's
Raikou
Monkey
guy.
Dory, Magmar, Raikou. I love this. There's like everything on this team. I'm just like I'd play this. Yeah, this looks cool.
Don't click Sludge Wave and click Terra Grass on the same turn, Travis. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
Oh god, he has headphones on. He can't hear you.
So the thing is, he has three Terras that make him lose his mind.
I mean, and you want to be clicking this next to Goodra, right?
Like, yeah, but like, you know, before you
but
tap
you can't him. Terra your Goodra next to it.
Also, I will say it for the millionth time, and I will probably continue saying it. Stop using Shelter. Use Acid Armor. Use it. It has more PP. It does the same thing.
Don't you want less PP so you can get to struggle sooner?
I think that's the idea with the Shelter. If you do get Encored into it, you can't be Encore trapped as long.
But you want to win timer games with this thing.
Yeah,
like.
I was going to say, but Jay's
is,
also,
that is true.
Jay's also right in that sense. Also, why did they just make Hisuian Goodra's signature attack like
bad?
Yeah, a move that not only already existed, but that Hisuian Goodra learned.
There's also multiple versions of it that already exist.
What they should have done is made it Belly Drum, but for defense.
Honestly, that would have been hot. That would have been actually
just,
miserable to go against.
I've never seen Jay's eyes get so wide.
That thing would... Have you seen its defensive stats?
So the thing is... like,
and it
so,
has shell armor. You can't crit it.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Okay, so for the viewers, whenever I'm sharing my screen, I have the team up. I do not see their faces. So I apparently just missed probably will be like one of the best thumbnail stills.
Right?
Yeah, that has to be the thumbnail now.
Yeah.
I
love these types of Pokemon. I love boosting your defenses and going crazy on them.
Yeah.
That's too much for me.
Carl, we're at hourish mark. Okay, you got it. Yeah, that is usually we do something to go with Orlando.
We need to put Carter in defenses anonymous after that. you need to go have a nice long talk with someone.
And you're over here telling me I'm the problem.
Well, I mean,
if you don't like it, Jay, get out of the kitchen.
I think other things to note on this. First of all, I always forget that Monkey Dory learns Fake Out because it's a special attacker with Fake Out, which is weird.
It's also bad.
Yeah, that too.
that's probably why you forget it. It's bad.
Quite bad.
The Milotic with the life dew, so that when your +6 shelter goes to a Gudra, it just literally will not die. And you also can't try to intimidate down its Heavy Slam if it does try to go with the Heavy Slam route, because you're threatening with the competitive. Honestly, it's like, I can understand why the Dragonite's here, because the Dragon type defensively is really, really good for this team. And also being a flying type on a team with 4 ground weaknesses is also useful. It's just weird not seeing it next, like, especially seeing a banded Dragonite.
Yeah,
next,
seeing a naked Dragonite.
Yeah, next, like, without the Chimpao. Like, honestly, if you were going to do, like, the full, like, let's get weird, why is this not the loaded dice scale shot set that we saw last weekend?
Go on.
Did you miss this?
Yes. Wasn't here last weekend.
Oh, yeah, you weren't. Yeah, on stream. Yeah.
So Spectrum decided it didn't want me to connect. I came in the next morning and I still wasn't connected. So
yep.
I left it on overnight and it just refused to connect.
I didn't know if you saw it on stream. Yeah, it was on stream. It was a Protect Scale Shot. Protect Scale Shot. Iron Head, E-Speed, Terra Steel, Loaded Dice, Dragonite. It was pretty hot. And for the team it was on, it made a lot of sense. I see parts of cores, and I know what the Pokemon do. This is not an Angelo team whatsoever. But, like, if you're going to go for a jumbled fun team, why don't you just go and use the hot new jumbled Dragonite set that honestly is kind of cool that no one I didn't see until last weekend?
I do have one complaint about this team. I kind of want to cut the Aura Sphere for Volt Switch on Raikou.
Yeah.
That's, like, the one thing I want to change.
I think having the fighting type coverage to hurt the steel types, I think it's always just useful. But I feel like having a pivoting move probably would have been better than the coverage. Honestly, you can even argue that you have the Milotic with Scald. Do you need the Scald on the Raikou as well?
Yes.
Like, that's why I say it's a U team. Great, great pick, Jay.
No further arguments.
No.
How are you
supposed
comments. To stall them out with your Gudra if they're not burnt? Honestly, we probably need Heat Wave on Magmar, too, so we can increase our chances of getting those burns.
No, that's why you have Scorching Sand.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I have like one more team for me. Do you guys have any other teams?
I have two, but
we can do yours, and I'll just do mine. Shout out to Zay Zang. 50th place, bringing his favorite and one of my favorites, Mamoswine. Again, New England loves you, Zay. You make us proud all the time. Carter, you go.
So this is, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. This is 223rd. This is Travis Melton.
Okay, I have to go. I only have the top cut filter on, so I gotta go unfilter.
Okay,
real
cool,
quick.
Cool.
This is the Okie Dokie Confei Sinistra team.
I looked it up and I went, I have to look at this. I need to talk about Confei.
So what place?
223.
That's so much healing here.
Yeah. How are they ever supposed to kill your Okie Dokie?
or your Moltres, who just keeps getting berserk boosted over and over and over and over and over again.
And it also was a nasty plot set too. Covert, so I can actually talk a little bit about Comfy. I've been using it in Regulation G. It is a really cool partner for Terapagos. So actually, like, it's fun that you were like, let's talk with the Comfy. So yeah, you talk with the Comfy more and the rest of this team.
So I would be lying if I said I knew what the turtle did. So we'll talk about that next week.
Yes.
But I mean, yeah, this team looks really sick. I do kind of think that this Raging Bolt you could probably drop Protect on just for like Thunderbolt. Just because you do have, you know, so much incidental healing thanks to like Comfey and Sinistra and your lefties as well. And like just like you have infinite setup fodder here. Just don't get locked out of the game, I think is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. I do think so. I know you were just saying that you don't know what Terapagos does, but for those of you who
it's
do
for
know
next week, Angelo.
I'm just saying for those of you who do know, it's pretty much the Raging Bolt. It like the lefty's Raging Bolt plus Comfey is the discount Reg F Terapagos Comfey, where you're boosting up your Calm Minds, and then the Comfey is keeping you healthy. I will say an interesting thing with this team is, oh, never mind, the Trick Room is on the Comfey, not the Sinistra. That's why that's like that. Scald Sinistra is actually pretty interesting.
So you can get burns, so then you can live everything forever. Do I need to pull back up the Gudra team again?
We can go.
It's definitely not to hit Incineroar.
No, it's
definitely
not.
Yeah,
especially the clear amulet ones where you can't strain sap them.
You're absolutely you cannot.
Okay, so does it just fail?
Yeah,
you don't get your recovery. It just fails.
Nope. It just fails. I think.
Yeah.
If you can believe it, I couldn't tell you the last time I clicked Strength Sap. It was probably before Clear Amulet was an item.
I was going to say, yeah, it was probably RTT in Gen 8.
No, Exeggutor doesn't get it.
The Okidogi here is interesting because we've seen a lot of the Okidogis in the past, especially the ones that were doing super, super well in the European majors, were using the new move Upper Hand as a way to really punish Incineroar, Sucker Punch Mons. Honestly, it would punish your Raging Bolts. They couldn't Thunderclap in front of you. And to not see that is a little interesting. And to also go with a Dark-type Terra instead of some of the other, like we've seen Terra Water, Terra Fairy, even like Terra Poison, or I think it was either Poison or Fighting last week we saw as well. I believe it might have been Poison. So that, like, those are a couple things that are interesting with the Okidogi. But yeah, this is an interesting team.
I'm mad that the Okidogi is in the bulk upset.
So what's the last one that we're going to be closing out with?
I want to give a shout out to Matt Bruno for bringing Belly Bolt.
What place did Bruno finish?
I know he started 3-1. I think he ended up finishing 4-5.
Yes,
I think he finished. Was he 4-5 or 5-4?
He was 4-5, 395. I have Bruno's team up. Again, we started with
He played Moxie, who brought Skeledirge.
Yeah. So I
want to hear Moxie's report of getting clapped by Belly Bolt.
Yeah. So Bruno brought Belly Bolt to a local, and
he's been working on for
ever. Won.
Yeah. Oh, he. I know he cut. I
he
could
won.
Remember
the, no, won. He won the local with this. With
yeah.
It.
Yeah. So he was like, "I'm locking this in."
I know this team was also built by or worked with David Kutesh, Hamster Mania on this team. That's why there is a total of zero protects on it.
Yep. There's one thing that David hates doing more than anything, and it's keeping his Pokemon safe.
I love how we have this Magma Storm Heatran and then no protects to punish it.
Okay, I went to the body the press body press Iron Defense part of this Heatran with Heavy Slam as well. This is like this Heatran it could hit you with its attack stat, attack stat via its weight, its defense stat, or its special defense stat. It is a true triple threat.
I'm a little disappointed in Bruno for running Heavy Slam, Iron Defense, Body Press, and have it not be Earthworm. That's a little disgusting, to be honest. I can't believe
literally
this.
The cult leader.
Yeah, he is the cult leader. I can't believe this. Jay, he has Tinglu right there. He has Landorus right there. Like, why are you not clicking Earthquake next to Orthorb?
Jay, I'm just. You know what has to happen now? You have to. The next cult meeting, you all meet up at. You're going to have to fight for his, you know, right to the throne as the true champion of the worm.
We're gonna throw him overboard at this point. Like, this is a sacrilegious to the god of our cult. Like, I can't even understand. Like, I was when I first saw the six, I was like, oh, like he transpired, I get it. But like, you're running Iron Defense, Body Press, Heavy Slam. Why is this not just the worm? Why?
No, it's. I think the only thing I can think of.
Shed Tail into your Iron Bundle, bring your Obama Snow out, click Blizzard. Everyone's happy.
Not the opponent.
Not the opponent, but Bruno is.
I need you to get Bruno on the phone and yell at him.
So mad right now. I was supposed to say, I'm Bruno, so mad.
I do have to reach out to Bruno. I do want him on the show that I've started. He is high up there on guests I want on the show.
Bruno is such a good dude.
First question, why'd you bring Heatran over Orthworm? What's going on with that?
Second question, what's up, buddy?
Yes! No, it's, I think, with we started off with some of my friends, we went with friends of the pod, favorites of the pod, and we're going to finish off again with a favorite of the pod in Bruno. Shout out to him for bringing like a Pokemon that he loves in Bellibolt that he's been working on, even though that a little disappointed that you also didn't double down with the worm.
Especially he's got double ground types here who can so click Earthquake.
Yeah. No, you're going to.
Imagine you are Terra Grass on the Belly Bolt, and you click Earthquake to charge your Electromorphosis. But you also can just switch in your Worm and heal it up.
So the two Stomping Tantrums...
I'm so mad about this. I love it.
The two Stomping Tantrums are actually just like Jay's 2 feet as he's throwing this exact tantrum.
I am throwing a tantrum right now. I am very upset. I can't believe that him and Kutesh built this team, and not once did one of them say to the other, couldn't that Heatran just be Orthworm?
What about the worm?
Like, rather than having a 4x ground weakness, what about another ground immunity?
I mean, like, and the other thing is, it's not even like Kutesh is a person who would say, no, that Pokemon's too weird. He's, like, the weird Pokemon guy in Europe.
Like, rather than a Pokemon that gets eaten by Landorus to pair with my Belly Bolt, what about a Pokemon that just hard walls it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm upset right now. I'm a little hurt.
You're going to get a hug, Jay.
I'm going to hug my cat.
You're going to have an aneurysm.
Hold on. We're going to grab the cat for the outro here.
Okay, yeah, we're doing the... While he's grabbing the cat, we are doing a new series, the Little Root Record. First episode should be out this week. And if you like us talk, or at least me, talking to people, Spooky. Friends of the podcast, friends of the community, that's the place to watch them.
It's going to be the New England reporters.
This is honestly the face of who Bruno just disappointed. I just want you guys to know. All right.
Yeah, no, Jay, have her do the outro. It's just going to be her.
Okay.
All right, good talk. See y'all next week.
Fascinating. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Outro time. Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure you guys leave in the comments down below why Bruno should have brought Orthworm to Orlando this weekend. Tell him all the reasons why he was so wrong for not bringing it. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Check out our Twitter at LR Lessons. Tweet at Ro and tell him why Yui's the best. Make sure you guys check out the Last Chance Qualifier coming up as of next Saturday, April 20th. Go and check that out. come and join the community Discord. We all hang out over there, and you could probably yell at Bruno as to why he didn't bring Orthworm this weekend. Make sure you check out the Discord and Patreon supporters links as well. Shout out to Papa Swish and Johnny Bravo Sr. for your consistent support on Patreon, and to Smeargle for your support on Discord. And with that, that is the episode. I'm upset, so I'm going to go and eat food now. I'm going to go eat dinner
and go to bed later. So I feel ya.
See you later, brothers.
Bye.
That was a good one.